like to present some research that we've been conducting in Southern Appalachian Mountains, where we've been looking at the overall applicability of using ground-penetrating radar as a method to estimate soil depth in these hardwood forests. I'd like to first acknowledge that this project is a collaborative research effort between the NRCS and the College of Natural Resources at Virginia Tech. Now, this portion of my dissertation research, as well as all my other projects that I'm working on, is geared toward explaining soil resource heterogeneity and what factors drive that in these ecosystems. So first, I'd just like to give a brief background about the Appalachian Mountains in general. These mountains are extremely variable due to rich geologic history from several orogenic events that have occurred over the last several hundred million years. As a result of these events, we have tremendous amounts of folding and faulting, particularly in the Ridge and Valley physiographic region of Virginia, as well as having many colluvial soils. Forest productivity is often dependent on many factors. Typically, one or two factors often drive site productivity, and in these ecosystems, water is considered the most limiting factor. So as we all know, soil depth can be extremely hard to estimate. It can be daunting and cumbersome at times, especially when we need to get a high enough sample size in order to really get at what the true depth of bedrock is. So typically we implement several different methodologies, typically a combination between using an auger as well as excavation. And what I have outlined here in red is some of the problems that we encounter. At first glance, this looks like the bedrock material, but this soil is a colluvial soil, and we know that the average soil depth of this particular series is 1.5 to 2 meters. So this is just some of the problems associated with more traditional measurements of soil depth. However, there are newer technologies that have been around for some time, but due to some refinements in these technologies, we can begin to take advantage of these in forest soil research, particularly the use of ground-penetrating radar. So what I have here is a typical profile on the right from a GPR device. On the left-hand side, we have soil depth in meters across a 20-meter transect. This soil series is from the Ridge and Valley physiographic region of Virginia. You can notice across this 20-meter transect, there's a great amount of variability, which would impact soil depth across this area. The letter A represents where we recognize large coarse fragments, which are denoted by these kind of hyperbola features. So how does ground-penetrating radar actually work? Just a little brief background on ground-penetrating radar. You typically have an antenna. There are several different frequencies of antenna. In general, the lower the frequency, the greater the observation depth. And as you increase in antenna frequency, you have more resolution near the Earth's surface. So typically, you have three different scenarios when you're pulling this antenna across a given transect. This is a time-dependent device which provides information on the parent material by the amount of time it takes the signal to bounce off of this really restrictive area. So the differences between zones 1 and 3 is just a difference in observation depth. But occasionally you have these abnormalities, whether they're coarse fragments or large coarse roots. As a result, the signal is bounced off of this object, but it also continues through the soil profile until it hits this more resistant material. So this led to the overall objective, which is to determine differences in soil depth estimations using an auger versus ground-penetrating radar, and what the differences are in overall observation depth. So our research sites, we had a total of 21 plots scattered through three different physiographic regions. We looked at nine plots in the Ridge and Valley physiographic region, six plots in the Allegheny Plateau, and six plots in the Cumberland Plateau. And across these three physiographic regions, we encountered five different soil series. So whenever you use ground-penetrating radar, understanding the geology and soils is important to determine if ground-penetrating radar is conducive to your research areas. So in the Cumberland Plateau, we encountered this Muskingum soil series, which is a fine loamy typic distro depth, which is formed in residuum. For those who have been to the Cumberland Plateau, all the geological strata is laid down horizontally, and the soil parent material in this case is sandstone, shale, and siltstone. Then on the sites on the Allegheny Plateau, we had two predominant soil series. We had the Gilpin soil series, which is a fine loamy typic haplodalt. This is a colluvial soil. And then we had the DeKalb soil series, which is a loamy skeletal typic distro depth, which is also a colluvial soil formed over residuum. Again, these soil series are developed from sandstone, shale, and siltstone parent materials, as well as graywacke. And one thing to notice on these sites is the amount of large quantities of coarse fragments that we encountered. Many of these coarse fragments were several tons in weight, and you can imagine how difficult that would be using traditional methods to really bore down and get estimations of total soil depth. And then finally, in the Ridge and Valley physiographic region, where we had the most folding and faulting and largest variation in soil depth, we had two predominant soil series. We had the Burke soil series, which again has a loamy skeletal textural class and is a typic distro depth. And then we had the Jefferson soil series, which I showed earlier, which is that colluvial typic haplodalt. Again, these soils are also formed in sandstone, shale, and siltstone, and we encountered large quantities of coarse fragments here as well. So a little bit about the sampling methodology. Here's a photo of a typical site. Each of these 21 plots were 20 meters by 20 meters in size. So here on the bottom right, we had the sampling methodology for the auger. We randomly selected 5 points to estimate total soil depth. And then when we used the ground penetrating radar, we did 2 transects 20 meters in length in the north, south, and east, west direction to provide a more continual estimate of soil depth. So here are some brief results that we have at this point. This shows the mean soil depth using the auger and GPR methodologies. Down on the x-axis, we have GPR depth in centimeters, and then on the y-axis, we have auger depth in centimeters. So for example, at this particular site, this represents the mean soil depth. So when we use GPR, we had a mean soil depth of about 150 centimeters, but one thing you notice is the mean soil depth when we use an auger was 50 centimeters. So when we look at the observation depth for GPR versus auger, we have a nice variety or a nice distribution of data points when we use GPR, which is what you would expect given the 3 different physiographic regions and the 5 different soil series. However, when you look at the depths obtained using an auger, they're typically restricted to this 50 to 75 centimeter depth. And that's primarily due to the fact that we encountered large amounts of coarse fragments. And this graph just kind of shows the spread in data. There is a tremendous amount of variability between the two methodologies. And when we looked at the mean observation depths between the GPR and the auger, we saw that the observation depth was significantly greater using ground penetrating radar, which is what we would expect given the soil conditions that we have. So where do we go from here? This GPR profile shows the same soil series I pointed out to you all earlier, the Jefferson soil series, which is a colluvial soil. Here we have a 20 meter transect, so it's 20 meters from this point to this point, and notice depth is now in meters and not in centimeters. So what we would like to do is use this data and integrate the amount of area above the soil bedrock to get a more precise estimation of total soil volume, and eventually relate that to things like available water holding capacity and how that relates to site productivity, as well as standing biomass. And for all of these sites, we have about 20 years of tree measurement data, so we might be able to create some models using these different attributes. Also, another advantage to using ground penetrating radar is the ability to see different bedrock types. Again, whenever you use ground penetrating radar, you have to ground truth a lot of these areas to ensure that you're not seeing roots or seeing large coarse fragments. So you can't really differentiate between those two items, which is a challenge at times. So here we have another profile. This is from the Cumberland Plateau, where you have that horizontal laid geological material. When we augered this area, we had an average depth of about 45 centimeters, and that's due to this really thin layer of moderately weathered sandstone. And on the right-hand side, we have an example of a road cut that was near this plot. And when we looked at this road cut, we noticed that there's fractures in the bedrock, and underneath we have a tremendous amount of fine roots and coarse roots moving into this material. And on this site in the Cumberland Plateau, you have a mixed mesophytic forest with a lot of yellow poplars, northern red oaks, basswoods, which are typically occur on well-drained, deep soils. So without the use of ground-penetrating radar, we would be approximately missing about 67% of potential soil rooting volume that these plants are taking advantage of. So in summary, with GPR is a better proxy for estimating total soil depth and potentially total soil volume. In particular, ground penetrating works extremely well in coarser textured soils with low 2-to-1 clay content, which we find in southern Appalachia. However, GPR is another tool that we have to use and is not suitable for every soil type. So perhaps using a combination of ground penetrating radar with some other methodologies, we may be able to generate a better picture of how soil depth changes and relates to productivity in these forests. I'd like to acknowledge the various funding agencies who are responsible for this research and open it up to any questions that you all may have. Thank you. Garrett? Yeah, there are some carts that you could drag across. Not that I'm aware of. No. Yes. When you experience or come across 2-to-1 clays, there's a lot more soil moisture, and soil moisture typically attenuates the signal a lot. So when you encounter these 2-to-1 clays, you get a kind of muddled profile because the signal kind of gets, you know, trapped within the soil, so you can't really generate a good enough picture. Whereas with the 1-to-1 clays in the Piedmont that we see in the southeast, GPR tends to work fairly well there. So it's a function of the clay type as well as soluble salts and soil moisture are the main driving factors for using ground penetrating radar. Yes?
We play around with this a little bit too, and doing some of our small watersheds, and the idea again to see if concentrated we get a handle on the bedrock. We found it was really, really sensitive to having to stay parallel to the surface as you're dragging this along. Of course, in these cut watersheds or manipulated watersheds, there's so many slash when you cruise it, just to get one line. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of clear everything so you have this really nice track that you could actually do versus playing around doing augers. Spatially, you plant the same pine, you could actually cover the entire watershed instead of little transects. So did you find that? Yours were smaller plots.
Yeah, we had 20 meter by 20 meter plots, and at some points, slash was a problem, so we'd have to maybe move our transect up or down a meter or so because it does create problems because you have to lift the antenna off the ground, and that creates a kind of break in the data set, so that we did encounter that a little bit. Yes, Dan?
It looks like when you present the image of GPR, it's like a nice two-dimensional plane vertically arrayed. Is there any body to that?
There is a three-dimensional component, which is what we're thinking about doing, where you scan every square inch in both directions. And then it creates a three-dimensional model where you can look at individual layers and how the parent material actually changes across that area, so you'd be able to get a better idea of total soil volume that way.
When you drag the sled along the line, how much volume is in that image?
Oh, just the size of the antenna. So just being able to integrate, as I showed in that one slide, being able to integrate that total amount of area, it's like a surface area, across your 20 meter transect, you'd still be able to, I think, get a better idea of total soil volume opposed to like five sample points using an auger.